Amen. Well, good morning. All right. Well, we have been studying the book of Philippians. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to begin a new series on the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 11. And I'm looking forward to how God's going to use that. It's an exciting part of Scripture, really laying the foundation for everything else that the Bible describes to us and tells us about God and about ourselves and about redemption. And so to come, as we'll be studying creation and what it tells us about God in the weeks ahead. But we've been studying the book of Philippians for the last few months, and we finished the book last week, but I love it so much, I just can't leave, all right? And so we are going to be looking today at one of the great themes of the book of Philippians, and that is the theme of joy. There's a chapter title in a book by Bruce Larson entitled, Are You Fun to Live With? Now that's a convicting title. Jesus came to earth not simply to forgive our sins and take us to heaven. He came to radically transform our sour personalities in order that we can be a positive witness for Him. Now sometimes our greatest struggle has to do with sins of attitude. Some sins that we struggle with are sins of commission, and other sins are sins of omission, what we do and what we don't do. But there are some sins that we struggle with that are sins of disposition. I heard about a man who went to the urgent care, and he ran across a mean-spirited nurse. And he said, you know, I have this place on my chin that I like for the doctor to look at, and she didn't really pay attention much to him. She said, well, go down the hall, first door on the right, take off all your clothes. He said, well, you know, I don't really think that's necessary. It's just right here. She said, down the hall, first door on the right, take off all your clothes. He said, but ma'am, I just don't think you understand. She said, down the hall, first door on the right, take off all your clothes. Well, finally, he just gave up. And so he went down the hall, he opened the first door on his right, and when he opened the door, there was a man sitting on a stool shivering in his boxers. Well, trying to kind of break up the awkwardness of the moment, he said, man, he goes, you know, that's a real mean-spirited nurse, isn't it? And he goes, you're telling me I'm the UPS driver. Now, all of us have met people with a sour personality. But if we're honest, all of us at times in our life have struggled with those sour moments as well. If the Holy Spirit is really inside of us, we ought to have the joy of the Lord. We ought to be fun to live with. Our personalities ought to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we experience His joy. Now, the phrase in Christ or its equivalent occurs 21 times in the 104 verses of the book of Philippians. And so Christ is our pattern for life, and He also is the basis of our joy. Now, don't confuse joy with happiness. Happiness has to do with what happens to you. It has to do with the circumstances of life. If your circumstances are good, then you're happy. If they're bad, then you're unhappy. But joy doesn't hang on uncontrollable circumstances. Joy is based upon our relationship with God. It is about being connected to the Lord Jesus. Now, joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so joy is not manufactured, it is produced within our life. It is a product of our spiritual growth. And so let's begin by reading Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4. Maybe the most famous verse in all of Philippians concerning joy and rejoicing. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Here's the principle. Jesus is the ultimate source of our joy. Now, the Apostle Paul was not sitting at the beach under an umbrella sipping lemonade when he wrote the greatest book on joy that has ever been written. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he is old, he is cold, he is hungry at times, and he is incarcerated in prison because joy is not tied to our circumstances. Joy comes from being connected to Jesus. It was Pascal who said the last thing one settles in writing a book is what you should put first. And that's what life really is about. We are pulled in so many different directions. We have our jobs, we have recreation, we have obligations, we have all these things going on within our life. But what is important about life is what do you put first? Joy comes to us when what matters most to us is not healing or health, it's not riches or things, it's not respect or success. Joy comes when what is most important to us is our relationship with Jesus. Now, if you go out and you buy a Christmas tree in December, or maybe you like to start early in November, but you go buy one of these Christmas trees that's been cut down and put in the parking lot and so forth, and then you take it home, and you decorate it with all kinds of lights, and you put ornaments on it, and whatever it is you like to decorate your Christmas tree, and people come over to your house, and they say, wow, what a beautiful tree it is that you have. But in reality, that tree is dead. That tree has been cut off from its roots. And you're just going to throw it out in the garbage. And if we are cut off from Jesus, we can try to cover it up with fake smiles and spiritual conversations, but in reality, we are dead. So there is no joy in our life when we become cut off from the source of joy, which is Jesus. Now, a lot of you know that I enjoy a good Dr. Pepper. I enjoy it quite a bit. In fact, I like Dr. Pepper more than I ought to. And so I am not drinking Dr. Pepper right now because I tend to go overboard. And so, but there was a time in my life where I had no moderation when it came to Dr. Pepper. And so I was preoccupied. I would drink several liters of Dr. Pepper a day, and it really messed my health up in many ways. But I was always thinking about how can I get my hands on another Dr. Pepper? In fact, I overpaid on a refrigerator because of its capacity to best store the Dr. Pepper, right? You know, I mean, it had those trays on the door where you could stick them and line them up, and it looked so good. And so I paid way too much. It was one of my dumbest purchases ever. But when I drank Dr. Pepper, I would try to incorporate it into everything. I would drink Dr. Pepper for breakfast. And I would drink Dr. Pepper for lunch, and I would drink Dr. Pepper for dinner. And then I tried to have a pre-lunch Dr. Pepper, and then a post-lunch Dr. Pepper, and a pre-dinner Dr. Pepper, and a post-dinner Dr. Pepper. And you kind of get the idea, right? But I sat there and I thought, how can I eliminate normal caloried food so I can make room for more Dr. Pepper calories within my diet? And I just learned I can't drink in moderation. Now, usually people aren't talking about Dr. Pepper when they say that, but that was certainly the case for me. But that's what I call an unhealthy preoccupation. But the Apostle Paul, throughout his life and within this book and within chapter 4, he talks about us having a healthy preoccupation with Christ. that we are so preoccupied with Christ that we see Jesus in every circumstance, that he is our greatest and our most constant thought, that he is our greatest desire and the most beautiful part of our affection. You see, we experience inexpressible joy when we are connected to the source of all joy, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says in Philippians 1, verse 18. He says, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. Here's the principle. Evangelism produces joy because it brings people to Jesus. Do you know that joy and evangelism are connected? When you share the gospel with people and when you lead someone to Christ, you will experience joy within your life. It's an amazing experience of joy. But you know who else experiences joy when we share the gospel? God experiences joy. Jesus said there is rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. And sometimes we say, well, look, the angels are having a party. And maybe that's true, but that's not what Jesus said. He said there's rejoicing in heaven or there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. He is talking about God rejoicing. And when you repent of your sins and you put your faith in Christ and there is salvation, the one who rejoices is our Heavenly Father. He experiences joy when you come to him in repentance. So evangelism brings God joy, and the Holy Spirit shares his joy with us. Do you want to have joy in your life? Then start sharing your faith on a regular basis. A joyful heart comes from an evangelistic life, but it also results in an evangelistic life. If you want to see people saved, if you're experiencing the joy of the Lord, then you want other people to experience that joy as well. Now, Paul was a man who had a tremendous amount of joy. And I think that's one of the reasons he was one of the greatest evangelists who has ever lived. Do you remember when Paul was in Philippi in the book of Acts? He's arrested and he's beaten. He is innocent without a trial, which was against the law as for a Roman citizen, as Paul was. He's beaten and then he's thrown into prison and he's put in shackles. And you would think that the Apostle Paul and Silas, they would be having a pity party. You know, they would be talking about how difficult things were and how hard it was and how cold they were and how hungry they were and how bad the blood and the stripes hurt on their back having been beaten. But that's not what they did at all. In fact, the Bible says they were so filled with joy that they're worshiping God. And they're singing, and they're praising, and the jailer, and the other prisoners. They're hearing them sing these songs of worship and praise to God. And then in the night, there's a great earthquake, and all of the doors of the prison are open. And the jailer, he sees this, and he's about to kill himself when Paul says, "Don't do anything. We're still here." And the jailer comes in, and he falls down on his knees, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" There is something contagious and compelling about joy. Did you know it is going to be almost impossible for you to lead people to Christ without joy? If you do have joy, then your witness will be almost irresistible. Look what he says in chapter 1 and verse 29. He says, "For to you," he's talking to Philippians, he says, "For to you, it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Here's the principle. Suffering produces joy because it makes us like Jesus. Now, that seems like a strange thing to say, that suffering produces joy. And if it wasn't for it being in the Bible, and if it wasn't for me experiencing that within my own life, I would say that it's not true. But it's a strange thing, but it's true. Suffering within our life can produce joy. In James chapter 1, verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, he says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, most of us don't think about suffering as being something that produces joy. We say, well, I don't want this pressure in my life. I don't want this suffering in my life. But God says that suffering actually produces hope, and hope produces joy. You know, over the last few weeks, my daughter Evangeline has been sick, and she's been experiencing pain within her muscles, and she's unable to walk at times, and we've gone to doctor after doctor. We've done test after test. We don't know exactly what's going on, and it seems as though so far no one knows exactly what's going on. And there's times when you don't know what you're dealing with or what it means. It can be scary at times. But you know, it hasn't diminished my joy at all. Because I know that God is in control. And in Philippians, he talks about the joy of faith. If we know that God is in control and that he loves us and that we can trust him, then that produces joy within our life and within our heart. But also, it hasn't diminished my joy because I have focused upon my love for my daughter, Evangeline, instead of focusing on some petty, stupid thing that we sometimes do. I have focused my attention on Jesus instead of upon this world. And joy doesn't come from this world. Joy comes from Jesus. You see, when we focus on the product instead of the process, that's when we experience joy. But often we focus on the process, don't we? We say, well, I don't like this suffering within my life. But God is focused on the product. He is focused on producing character and maturity and joy within your life. Now, when the storm comes, those of us in the city, we sometimes are upset because it rains on our parade, or maybe we should say it rains on our hike, you know. And so we're upset. But there's an old farmer out there in the country, and he's not upset at all because he's not focused on the process, which is the storm. He's focused on the product, which is a bountiful harvest. And our suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope produces joy. Now, we all want character, but we don't always want the process of suffering within our life. Do you remember the Galilean demoniac? Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee to the Decapolis, and there's a man who is demon-possessed. And he's there in the tombs and the caves, and he's out of control. And so the people have shackled him and put him in chains to try to protect themselves from him. But he breaks the chains free. And so Jesus comes, and he confronts this man, and he casts the demons out of them. And the demons, they say, well, can we go in this herd of swine? And Jesus says, okay. And so they go, and the swine, they run down into the water, and they drown. They had maybe more sense than we do of not to mess with the demonic. But the people, they heard about what had happened, and they came to see what Jesus had done, and they see this man sitting there in his right mind, and he is listening to every word that Jesus says. Now, you would think that they would rejoice, that they would be happy, and would say, look at this man whose life was filled with chaos and disorder and confusion. And now he's a man that has clarity and peace and God's grace within his life. But instead, they were upset not about the man. They were upset about the pigs. Their attitude was, Jesus, solve our problems, but save our pigs. You know, that's what we want sometimes, isn't it? We want victory, but not struggle. We want to be happy, but we're not so sure we want to be holy. We want success without sacrifice. Our suffering points us to our salvation. Our salvation points us to Christ, and Christ gives us hope, and hope produces joy. And so we see suffering produces joy. Evangelism produces joy. Jesus is our source of joy. But look what it says in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. Now, this is a long passage, but I want us to focus in on it because it's important. He says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Here's the principle. Humility produces joy because we are living like Jesus. Now, when you think about God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have humbly loved one another for all of eternity. That the God within his triune nature is a God of love, and he is a God of humility. And the humility of God here is demonstrated in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prior to becoming man, prior to his incarnation, Jesus had humility. He didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he humbled himself to become a man, a servant, and ultimately to die on the cross for our sins. Salvation is to be found in Christ. Salvation means having Jesus' righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. And so salvation means to have Jesus' righteousness, but it also means living with his humility. Jesus says, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. And whoever seeks to lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will find it. Do you want to have a spirit of joy? First, become attached to Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus, and then get your ego out of it. Be humble before God. You know, one of the greatest things that kills our joy is pride. When we have pride and someone doesn't show us respect and they don't treat us the way that we want to, then it bruises our ego and it hurts our feelings and it's hard to be joyful. That's why prideful people are never joyful people. But Jesus wants to reproduce within you the fruit of the Spirit regardless, and the fruit of joy regardless of what other people think of you. The only way to experience that kind of joy is to develop a freedom from ego that only humility can supply and only Jesus can produce within your life. Humility produces joy. But also look what he says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. He says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Here's the principle. Our future produces joy because we will be with Jesus. God's joy ought to permeate God's people. And we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And every time we get down in the pit, it is because our eyes are focused completely upon this world. We need to lift up our eyes and look to Jesus and look to eternity. See, joy comes from a proper perspective of heaven and eternity. But above all, it comes from a proper perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we shall dwell with for eternity. Jesus, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Jesus had joy in the cross because he knew there was going to be a resurrection. And we can have joy in our suffering because we know that there is going to be a resurrection. And the Bible says that we are on the winning side. I think I've shared this before, but one time, a long time ago, I think it was in high school, there was a missionary or a man from Romania that came and spoke in my church, and there was a question-answer time, and one of the questions that people often ask was asked, and that is, you know, when someone first comes to know Christ, what's the first book of the Bible that you encourage them to read or start reading? And he said, well, we encourage them to start reading the book of Revelation first. Everybody thought that was kind of odd. Usually people say the Gospel of John or one of the Synoptic Gospels or something. And so someone asked a follow-up question, well, why is the book of Revelation the very first book that you have a brand new believer start reading? And he said, it's because in Romania at the time, the average lifespan of someone who had just come to Christ was 40 days. And he said they needed to read the book of Revelation because they needed to know how it ends. They needed to know that Jesus wins. Let me tell you, you and I, we're on the winning side. Our future brings hope and joy because we know that Jesus is going to return. And no matter what is going on in our life, we can read to the end of the book and we know how the last chapter ends. And it ends with us there with Jesus for all of eternity. We are going to be in the presence of God and we are going to be in the presence of Jesus. You see, we can know as believers that no matter what happens within our life, when we die, we are going to be with Jesus. We know the last chapter of our life, and that hope of salvation produces joy within our life. But you know, the greatest killer of joy is guilt. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that that is the reason that our sin separates from God. That's the reason that we don't always experience the joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And it's because of sin that we have been separated from God, and that sin keeps us from experiencing the presence of God and the joy of God within our life. And so we find we've all sinned, and that sin is connected to guilt, and guilt keeps us from experiencing joy. But there are two things that we can do. We can do one of two things. You can reject Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you will always live with guilt, and you will have no hope, and you'll never experience the joy of Christ. Or we can come to Christ, and He will forgive us and cover our sin. He will remove our guilt. And He will replace the guilt of our sin with hope. And He will replace the guilt of our sin with joy. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is the basis and the source of our joy. Let's bow together as we prepare to pray. I'll be praying here in a moment. You be praying. I want to encourage you today. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. There'll be pastors, counselors here at the front. You can come forward, and I want to encourage you, if you've never given your life to Christ, to do that today. You can come forward and say, I want to give my life to Christ. We'd love to talk to you about that and tell you what the Bible says, how you can do that. Don't put it off. Don't do it another time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you've been living your whole life separated from the joy of the Lord, don't live another day. Life's too short. Come to Christ today. Put your faith in Jesus. The Bible says Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin, and He rose from the dead. And the Bible says if we'll put our faith and trust in Him, He'll forgive us of our sins. And when He returns, we'll spend eternity with Him. It may be that God is calling you. He's working in your heart. And you know that you need forgiveness of your sins. You know you need the guilt of sin wiped away through the blood of Christ. I want to encourage you to come today and say, I want to give my life to Christ. We'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you want to be baptized. You've given your life to Christ, but you want to profess Him through believer's baptism. Baptism doesn't save us, but it is the way that we publicly say, I am not ashamed of Jesus. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I identify with Him. I'm His disciple. Maybe you want to come and join this church. Come forward and say, I want to join this church. I want to be a part of what God is doing here. I want to grow here. I want to serve here. I want to be a part of the family of faith. Here at Shoreline, whatever it is that God is doing in your life, here in just a moment as we have this time of invitation, I want to encourage you, as soon as the music begins to play, as soon as we sing, we stand, you come forward and make whatever decision the Lord leads you to make. But maybe you're here this morning, you don't need to walk forward, you don't need to talk to someone. You need to talk to God. And maybe there's something in your life that's been inhibiting your joy. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe it's disobedience. Something is keeping you from being connected to Jesus, the source of joy. And so you're not experiencing that joy. You're not experiencing that love of Christ, that grace of God, that peace of God. I want to encourage you just to respond during this time of invitation. Just pray and ask God to remove anything and everything it is that keeps you from being connected to Him. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. Lord, we love You. We trust You. And Lord, You said in this life there will be many troubles. You said every day will have its troubles. But You also said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that these trials produce faith and character. and ultimately joy. Lord, help us to see our life beyond just the temporary, and help us to see eternity. Lord, often we just look at one little piece of our life and that's all we fix our eyes upon. But Lord, you see the beginning from the end. You see all that you're going to do through the totality of our life. And so, Lord, I pray in those moments we would trust you. Lord, I pray that you would help our church to grow in joy. And Lord, I pray that you would do that by helping us to connect more and more with Jesus, the source of our joy. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Produce the fruit of joy within our life. Lord, bless this invitation. Use it to bring sinners to Christ. Use it to bring saints closer to Jesus. Use it, Lord, to produce joy within our spirit.